God bless you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just
yes. I'm going to have to fix that. Yes, when we say fast food, let me clarify. That's good, Cindy. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Thank you very much. Take out your bullets and insert. It's a full page, double-sided. The side that talks about fasting planning, a fasting planner. We'll get to that towards the end of the message. So when we think about fasting, how many of you are eager? You know, I see one, yeah. Two, okay, there's a few of us. We think about fasting, and it's okay if it's not an exciting thing for you to think about. The word itself kind of pictures discomfort for most of us. Fasting reveals how much we have been attracted to and affected by all the comforts our culture says we, quote, deserve. You look at commercials, everything's about what you deserve. And if statistics are right, you listen to millions of commercials in 1 year. That cannot help but impact us. Fasting is a weapon. Think of that way. Fasting is a weapon that gives us a spiritual edge over Satan we usually don't even consider using. Share with your neighbor, just in a short discussion, share with your neighbor, what would a Christian choose to fast, or why would a Christian choose to fast and pray? And secondly, what personal benefits to you might be gained from fasting? Okay, discuss those two questions for a few minutes with your neighbor. Okay, let me ask you a question, just food for thought here. If you were to attack your enemy, what would be your best strategy to defeat him? The best strategy is to attack his weakness. Go for his weakness. Fasting and prayer is how we attack Satan's weakness, because he can't stop people from praying. It's been said that Satan laughs at our best efforts to reach out to other people, to read his word, to obey God, but he shudders when we pray. That's our best weapon for having an edge over Satan. Fasting and prayer is for every Christian. We can learn through fasting that we gain spiritual power through consuming God's word, as I just read to you in Psalms chapter 1. We gain spiritual power through consuming God's word, that the Holy Spirit helps us put under our control what consumes us. Poor habits, worry, discontentment. Remember those commercials. Those commercials that tell you you deserve something is intended to have you have two attitudes about life. One is, I'm entitled to what you're selling. And the second is to be discontent with what you now have. How many cell phone commercials are there? The latest thing comes out and you've got to have this. You know, my microwave, which Kayla and I bought in 1987 and we're still using, Don't say that too loud, it'll break. If you has more bells and whistles on it than I've ever used. I've never used 95% of the options on that machine. Why would I need a cell phone that does 2,000 different things when all I want to do is call and text and maybe some internet? That's it. But you got to have all these. And let's say that advertisers are really good at making you go, ooh. Right? Yeah, I like it. Yes. They are. Discontentment. Holy Spirit helps to put under control what consumes us. Lies about our importance to God. Anybody believe that you're not very important to God? Or maybe not very important to others? And the list goes on of things that consume our thoughts and our attention. The purpose of fasting is to help every Christian seek God. Everybody say those two words, seek God. That's what fasting and prayer is about. Anybody need another step closer to God? Anybody here? Isn't that why you came today? Yeah. When teaching how to live the Christian life, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you fast, and when you pray, and when you give, and gave instructions on each of those three. Notice he did not say if you fast, if you give, or if you pray. Jesus is setting us up to understand that the Christian life uses these three and many other disciplines, spiritual disciplines, in our life in order to stay strong, founded in Christ, not easily moved by Satan, people who care about others, and so on and so on. That is what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching us that in order to maintain a healthy Christian life, fasting is every bit as important as praying and giving is. But how often do we consider fasting if we didn't do it as a church body every January? I'm as guilty as that as anyone else. Maybe we ought to be thinking more about fasting. Successful fasting requires some planning. For example, if you decide to fast one meal a day, plan for success by choosing which meal ahead of time that's going to be. If you wait for the day to get started, you won't get started. But beware, fasting a meal or anything else can be a worthless and miserable experience if you don't use that time for prayer. The whole point of fasting is prayer. Prayer and fast. Fast and prayer. The first time we did this, I spent so much time focused on thinking about food. It was really hard for me to pray very successfully, with much concentration, because stepping away from food was consuming my thoughts. That was a real excellent fast for me because it taught me how much I think about food. How about you? I've already told you that when I go to Pendleton or Walla Walla, as I'm driving there, I'm going, what restaurant have I not tried yet? Where's my favorite place to go this time? And making myself not purchase any fast food is a little bit like bummer. I said last week in our sermon, remember the whiteboard up here? Leaving the world to live in the spiritual kingdom, leaving the physical kingdom to live in the spiritual kingdom requires some time and some effort. And what was the last thing? Some grief. We grieve leaving behind stuff we know is not good for us, but we've used it much in this physical world. But if we keep it, it hinders our walk with Jesus. And I think food controls us a lot. Everybody go like this. Amen. It does. It does. Fasting is for a time of prayer, Bible reading, of thinking, pondering what Jesus is telling you in Scripture. The things that come to mind as you're fasting, not just the particular meal, for example, but throughout the day, Jesus might give you something to think about. Think about it. Christians, we need to be thinkers, right? Pondering what Jesus gives us. I have wasted more excellent sermons, ideas, because I did not write them down. Oh, that's a good idea. I'm busy doing something else. If I stop just 3 seconds and write that baby down. Oh, I'll remember that. That's so good. I'll remember that. Nope. It doesn't work that way. Fasting accompanied by prayer does not obligate God to deliver something to you, but it prepares you to receive something from Him. It's preparing you. Fasting is a tool that can rekindle your desire for God's presence, help you seek His wisdom, and help you identify one or more things that may be interfering with your relationship with Him. Television? Internet? How many different things can you do? This almost replaces every other device we have, doesn't it? When it comes to internet. Yeah. Who needs a computer? You got a cell phone. We can spend hours on that baby. Let's spend some time fasting our phone, fasting Facebook, and so on. But there's a caution here. There's a caution here. Although we are free to ask God for something specific during a fast, we cannot expect or demand that He deliver it. If you come away from your fast saying, "This was pointless. I didn't get anything out of this," or "I didn't get what I was hoping to get," then perhaps your motive for fasting was not in sync with God's purpose for fasting. Let God determine. Go ahead and ask for what you want. But let's live with an expectancy that God's going to do something in this fast, not an expectation that He must deliver this specific thing. Amen? Because that can get our eyes off of what He knows may be a better thing for you, a better thought to chew on for the next year than what you have had. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. My first experience of fasting, whatever year it was, Bob Johns and I went to Texas, Dallas, Texas, for a 5-day prayer and fast for our nation. And fasting started when we left Athena, drove to Portland, flew to Dallas, and I learned something else on this fast. Do not eat a bag of prunes on your way to Portland. That's just bad news. Don't do that. So the first couple of days of my fast were eventful. But on my fast, my first time fasting, I participated in prayer, Bible reading, gathering with other Christians for the purpose of prayer. Here's what I learned. Number one, Christians who fast together can encourage each other to complete the fast and stay focused on God. How important do you think that first fast, that first lesson, is important to Delbert's future fasts? You can really do it. Stay encouraged. Encourage others who are also doing it. Because fasting can be difficult. If this is your first time thinking about fasting food, then be prepared and encourage and receive encouragement from others. We must do that. Second thing I learned is I could actually go without food, without all food, for the purpose of focusing on God. And that's the point of the message today. You can fast. You can do it. If you have medical reasons to not do it, don't do it. Okay? Stay on your regular diet, menu, whatever you have. But if you are safe to fast food, let's look at three elements that are at the heart of the matter of fasting and prayer. Number one is fasting is for the purpose of prayer. Fasting for the purpose of prayer is an invitation to God. You don't have just to grin and bear it when things are not going well in your life. And oftentimes, that's what people use prayer and fasting for, is to get clarity from God on something that is troublesome. Moses was fed up with grumbling and faithless behavior of this loose gathering of people who for 430 years lived in Egypt. And God calls Moses to lead them out. And so he leads them out of Egypt. Think of it, north of Egypt, out of the Delta area, the best land in Egypt. That's the land they lived in. And they left, headed east, got to Mount Sinai. They estimate that took from a month to 3 months to get there. 2 million plus people, plus all their animals, plus all their possessions that the Egyptians gave them. Here, take all this stuff. Get out of here. Your God is killing us with the 10 plagues. And so they leave, and Moses leads this group of people, misfits, people who don't know their name yet. They don't know who they are yet. Imagine trying to lead that many people who don't know who they are, where they're going, or why they exist. That's pretty tough business. Moses is plumb ticked off by the time he gets to Mount Sinai. God calls him up the mountain and does what? He gives him something. What does he give him? What's that? Ten commandments. He gives him ten commandments. Moses, take these down to the people and give these to the people. Tell them this is what's going to help them become a nation. It's when they receive the law of God and said, this is now who you are. Oh, now we have a name. Now we have a name, Hebrew or Jew. A little bit later on with Joshua comes the name Israel. We have a name. We have a destination. What's it called? The promised land? We have a place to go. You see, people who have an identity have a reason for existing, a place to go do and be there for God. Those are easier people to lead. Exodus 34 tells us Moses decided to fast for 40 days, inviting God to meet with him to solve the problem of what to do with these wayward people. People without an identity, and as a result, the Ten Commandments were given and gave them an identity that resulted in Christ's birth 1,400 years later. Wow. Everything God gives you in this moment, as he did with the Israelites, giving them the law in that moment, had 1,400 years down the road a purpose for it, because Jesus was going to come from the nation of Jews. Don't you ever think that what God is giving you in this moment means nothing. It's just for this moment and it has no purpose down the road. No, 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 no. God was always building something off of what he's giving you. It always has a future tense to it, a future moment to it, a future benefit to it. Praise God. Isn't that good? You guys, this is... Smile. This is good news. This is good news. Because Moses chose to meet with God We can now be part of God's family. And when you fast and pray, when you invite God to meet with you in your prayer and fast, perhaps to solve an issue or just to worship Him with a dedicated heart, all great men and women of faith started their great faith in prayer and fasting. Just lost his name. Campus Crusade. Say it again.
Bill Bright.
Thank you. Bill Bright felt God calling him to a 40-day fast. 40 days and nights. No food, just water. He spent some time preparing for that. He just didn't step into it the next day. But he accomplished a 40-day fast. And the things that God gave him and the things that benefited Campus Crusade, which is now called what? Anybody know? Crew. Very good. It's now called Crew. For Crusade, if you will. And God did some great things through that fast. Secondly, fasting and prayer declares God's leadership in your life. Fasting is a nonverbal recognition and a nonverbal declaration that God is king and that you are voluntarily surrendering to his kingship. Fasting and prayer. Because there's another king, it's right here, called your stomach. And that king demands, doesn't it? Feed me! Fried chicken! Mashed potatoes and gravy! I better quit. You might go home. Notice three elements of worship of God in fasting and prayer. First, fasting declares surrender of your ways to his ways. Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, God says in Isaiah 55. Second, prayer is for telling God you will follow his lead. You're making a statement now. I will follow your lead. Say that with me. I will follow your lead. You are saying in your fasting and prayer. That's not small talk. That's big business. Thirdly, obedience to God is the practice of humbling yourself before him and shows God you are sincere in your love for him and your respect of him as God, King of all. Prayer and fast says these things. Thirdly, a successful fast expresses spiritual discipline through a physical act. You are doing physical things to express the spiritual discipline. It parallels, first of all, your attitude when you give to God financially. How does God teach us to give financially? Give with a what kind of heart? A cheerful heart, not under compulsion. Not under compulsion means do not feel like you have to give because your church is teaching on it right now. Oh, great. Pastor says I have to give. Okay, I have to give. And I really don't want to. But let me tell you this. I started out tithing 10% out of a not want to heart. My heart was scared. Can I really do this? God, will you really show up when I need you financially? He said, and he does in Scripture, test me and see. And you know what? My wife, Kayla, taught me how to do that because her dad taught her. And there's no question in her mind, when we got married, it was like, oh, yeah. She said, it's okay. It's all right. God's got this. And now I'm in that place. But it takes some time. Fasting and prayer is the same thing. It has to be done with a cheerful heart. A yes in your heart to God. Yes, I will do this. Now, a yes does not mean I love it. It means, I will. You're calling me to do it. Scripture says this is good practice for a Christian, for a healthy Christian to do this. I'm going to do this. It scares me. Can I be successful? What is it going to look like? God says what? Test me. Trust me. See if this is going. I'll be there with you. I've given you my Holy Spirit, his power to conquer this king. When this king is screaming and hollering. So, choose to do it. Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. He is saying, choose it. That's it. Choose it. Fasting is a simple thing. It's a simple decision to make. Fasting is not difficult if you plan for it. But plan for it. Those who don't plan for fasting really struggle to be successful in it. Secondly, it is a response to God's invitation to know him more. In fasting and prayer, you're inviting God to meet with you, but he's also inviting you to trust him. And trust him. And trust him. Because King's stomach is going to go, I'm still here. I still need food. And when that happens, let that be a reminder to say, Holy Spirit, you have given me your power to press through this and make you king over every other king in this world. And this one is really screaming right now, but I'm holding on, okay? And because other people in my church I know are doing this, I feel encouraged to keep on keeping on myself. God is inviting you. Anytime you have chosen to fast, the Holy Spirit has already been having you think about fasting, an opportunity to know God more deeply. You have known for almost a month now that this fast has been coming. The Holy Spirit has been having you think about that. It's not just an announcement in the bulletin. It's a spiritual relationship the Holy Spirit's been working with you on for a month. What will you do with his invitation? You can say Delbert wants us to fast, and that would be partly true, but the Holy Spirit may have been talking to you and nudging you, and that's the voice you want to listen to. Fasting and prayer will take you into maturity in a more deeper place. Also, a successful fast, you will need to feel the desire. Let me say it this way. When you fast and pray, fasting food or fasting an activity, if you're not going to fast food, you will have a desire inside of you to go back to that activity or back to that food, and it will call you. It will. That's where we need to be praying for each other to stay strong and not give up on the fast. This is where your spiritual dependence on God needs to stay focused. Resist quitting. And let me add to this right here. Okay, ready? Listen. Ready? If you eat a meal that you said you would fast, that's not failure. Just pick up the fast and keep going, okay? Don't give up. Don't quit. I'm a failure. No, don't go there. Satan would love for you to do that, but don't do that. Just keep going. Push through the hunger. Push through the go back to the activity, whatever that desire is calling you back. Resisting your mind's desire to detour your fast will give you greater spiritual control. You will learn you can. And that's an important thing for us to know, that we can, for the next test, the next trial, the next question we have with God. You can. Fasting and prayer is for spiritual discipline that says to God, feasting on your presence and feasting on your word meets my spiritual heart's need to be healthy, even more than feasting on physical food does. Even more than feasting on physical food that my body says it needs to be healthy. Okay, turn your paper over, look at the planning page side. Get mine out here. Okay, ACC Fast and Prayer Planner. So just some thoughts for you. If you want to use this, please do. If you have something other idea, that's great too. So planning for my fast and prayer. How many meals a day are you going to fast? You can circle one, two, or three. Or maybe it's zero because you can't fast and that's okay. How many days of the week are you going to do this? Maybe for you, doing this the very first time, 3 days a week is huge. Okay, start there. But start. Experience fasting for the purpose of praying. Maybe you could say, I'm going to drink only juice and water on those fast days. So let's say you're going to fast one meal a day, 3 days a week. While you're fasting that meal, drink water. Don't drink energy drinks or soda or coffee. Drink water because your body needs that water to keep flushing out toxins and whatnot. We should be practicing. How many of us don't drink enough water to begin with? Holy cow. Yeah, that's me. So drink water. Is there a specific food or drink to not consume? Do you have a favorite that's good? You're already saying, ooh, this is going to be hard to give up. Facebook, TV, videos, Netflix, so on, video games, YouTube, sports viewing, a hobby, whatever. What are some things that you can say, I'm going to fast? And then mark the days you plan to fast and pray. And there's a little calendar there Kayla's made for us. You can circle the days that you're going to do that, put that on your fridge, because your fridge is the doorway to your dining pleasure. All right, flip your page back over and you'll see a chart here. Day of the week, starting today, December 30th, God is King, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, 23, and I humble myself before him, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Here's a guide for you, a daily guide for this coming week, starting today, for you to focus on God is King, and I choose to humble myself before him. And use these scriptures, read them, pray over them, use the scriptures as your prayer point, the message of the scripture, let that be your prayer point. Just pray those scriptures. Acknowledge to God he is King and that you are humbling yourself before him. And then below the chart, you have some points to ponder. Here's some things you can work through. Just some things to give you thoughts, to give you a direction to go in your daily devotion time. Okay? Any questions on fasting or praying? All right. Must have done a pretty good job of sharing this with you. Yeah. Where at? Yes. The Daniel fast? Oh. Suggestions on food to eat? Well, vegetables and fruits are very good. Staying away from sugars and wheat products. There's wheat's in a lot of stuff. I was really disappointed when I figured out Campbell's soup has wheat in it. Tomato soup has wheat in it. Really? Yeah, lots of sodium. So eat the fresh vegetables, fruits. Help me out, guys. Beans. Actually, Deb is really, really excellent with this. Okay. Okay, let's just share that website again.
UltimateDanielFast.com.
UltimateDanielFast.com. Write that down if you're interested in doing a Daniel fast. The gal on that website will give you lots of information. You can't go wrong with that. Good training and teaching there. Good spiritual training and teaching as well. Okay. All right.